This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We got Brian Ray coming up at 12. Danny Green at about 1:22. But right now, we're going to look ahead to the NFL draft. I believe the NFL draft is now 10 days away. And by the way,
9 or 10, something like that. Nobody really knows.
Yes, 10. By the way, we'll be taking over all the Pluckers in the Metroplex on the night of the draft. We'll be at all 8 Pluckers locations, parting with you on opening night of the draft. That is the Fans Path to the Draft, brought to you by Pluckers and, of course, Zero Res. Now,
I'm in Addison.
I'm in Allen. So, or will be in Allen.
I will be in Addison.
Okay.
Come see me.
Okay. I can't, but I will tell other people when they come into the Allen spot, I'll be like, you should go see Corey in Addison.
You know what? I might just leave my place and come see you in Allen.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You leave at the same time and come see me in Addison.
Okay.
We'll just cross paths.
See how that goes. Are you buying or selling these NFL draft rumblings? But also, what percentage of the time do you think a first-round wide receiver is a bust? Because we talk about quarterbacks all the time.
Interesting.
But this is especially the top three, make a pretty strong argument. All three are going to go into the top 10, but all high-level talents. How often does a first-round wide receiver bust out?
Oh, man, this is an interesting question, because just look at the Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb draft that also featured good Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs.
Less good.
So, but you got talent out of that draft. And Justin Jefferson, who is the best right now, was the last out of that bunch picked. So, like, that's a really talented group there. And I think that every single one of those receivers, you know what, Kevin? I thought Henry Ruggs was overvalued by the Raiders. I think we all did.
Yeah.
We had constant discussions on CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
I think that was the one where we and I said I would much prefer to have CeeDee Lamb. Just from what I'd seen at Oklahoma, I thought he was the better receiver.
Good selection.
And so he lands in the Cowboys' lap and the Cowboys pick him, which was a smart move by them because of where they are now with him not being at these meetings that are taking place today, because he's already starting his holdout, I guess.
No.
I don't know. Michael Galkin reported that CeeDee Lamb was not there this morning, Kevin.
Did you expect any different?
No. But I would say that maybe 60% of the time, the receiver doesn't turn out. Do you have a numbers on this?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. All right. This is from The Athletic, and here are some of the things that went into it. Starts, was the player good and healthy enough to start at least 50 career games?
And how many years is this?
Since 2011.
Okay. Because it's changed a lot, right?
True. So 2011 feels obviously more representative than if you went back too much further. So these are all the first-round wide receivers taken since 2011. Production. Did he post 2,000-yard seasons? Number one option. Has he seen 150-plus targets in any season? And paid. Did the team pick up his fifth-year option? So here's some of the criteria.
That's really solid criteria right there.
Superstar. 17.5% of the time.
Wow.
Star.
It's actually a big number.
And you might be okay with this as well. Star, 19.3%.
Is that Do you think that that includes superstar? Like yeah, he's a yes. star and a superstar?
No.
So it's only really 2% more?
Just, no. I think that's its own thing.
Okay, gotcha.
So I think it is 19% of the people are just star. So right there, you take a look at it, 37%. 37% of the time you draft a wide receiver in the first round, you get a star or a superstar.
Okay, so I said about 60%.
Yes, you were remarkably close, but I didn't want to give it all away too quick.
Because then what would we do for the next 9 minutes?
I have other stuff as well, fear not. Does that sound like a good conversion rate? I know first round, you're like, hey, we need to be hitting at 80, 90%. Great. But the numbers don't ever bear that out.
Because not every GM's good. And not every team is good. Not every player turns out to be what he shows you, you think he is, too, from college. And a lot of times you draft a guy and you're just like, hey, now you need to do this. And he's like, but I'm really good at this. And you're like, don't worry about that. You're in the NFL now. And you're like, but that's not what my best is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this makes a lot of sense that it doesn't turn out quite the way that you would expect.
Now, on the flip side, the numbers broke down like this. 30% are reaches and 33% are busts. So 63% of the time you take a first-round wide receiver, it's going to be a reach or a bust. 37% of the time, it's going to be a star or a superstar. That feels pretty acceptable, but if you look at just the bust label, 33% of the time, which means you're close to as likely to take a bust wide receiver in the first round as to get a superstar or star. Do you think people look at those numbers, or do you think every team is like, that's because of the other teams that aren't good at this? Me and my group were great at it.
I don't know if people look at these numbers.
Okay.
I'm serious about that because
this is an interesting question.
I think that a lot of these guys that are doing this, I would love to talk to Broadus about this because I feel like a lot of the guys that are doing this are saying, I'm watching my tape. I'm looking at my information that I have from the combine. I'm making sure I have all my information together. And those numbers are really more for analytical people in discussion, I think, than the scouts. Now, do GMs look at those numbers and say, "Hey, we have to go by this number"? I don't know, but it's good information to have. I really do think it is good information to have.
Yeah.
I think that one of the conversations I'd like to have with you here, Kevin, is A, when do you reach? Because if you're low if you're in the low in the first round, and when you have a need, a lot of times people with needs will reach. If you're low in the first round, you start going, we're not going to get this guy in the second round. So we're going to have to draft him. He will go high. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he will go high in the second round. So we're going to miss out on him unless we trade up. So we need to go ahead and take him now. And that's a reach, right? Like that would be a reach. Is we're going to have to draft him a little earlier because of our draft position. Broadus talks about that all the time. The other part of it is the
by the way, no, I haven't recalibrated the numbers if you took the Raiders out of this. I get it. Yeah. I will see what I can do with that.
Yeah, but I think that's a huge factor. Is understanding what reach is different, too, because some people do reach just for position. Because they're like, we have a shortage of this, and we got to get that guy. We got to add a receiver. Our fans are expecting us to add a receiver this season. We just got to grab one.
Now, on some of the draft, buy, sell rumors. I'm going to start with this one. The Giants, I don't know why I said that so loud, are showing strong interest in quarterbacks. I feel like they've brought people in for their 30s. I feel like there's been discussion about it. But do you really believe that the Giants will pull the trigger on a first-round quarterback? Man, if that's your reaction, I wonder what their reaction is.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. I don't think they'll do it just because of that money invested. And then they have to admit that they were wrong about something. When we forked over $40 million a year, we were wrong about that decision. But guess what? We didn't pay Saquon Barkley. Who is really good, you know?
Right.
So that's a big problem there. I don't think they will, Kevin.
Okay.
But I don't think you should be afraid to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This just goes back to what I said about Mozzie the other day. I don't think you should be afraid to draft another one at that position, even if it is a one technique and, you know, they don't value it. But you got to stop the run. you can't be afraid of drafting at that position again.
The betting odds don't necessarily bear this out, but there's Matt Miller from ESPN, among other people, who are pushing the idea J.J. McCarthy could go number two in the draft.
Huh?
I'm not, man. I'm just asking, do you buy this or no?
I don't.
I don't either.
Number two?
Number two.
No. I feel like my ranking is very consistent on where he is, and it's not number two. Okay. So
where do you put him? Four?
Fifth, sixth.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, and I'm not even like excited. That's just not, I'm not super excited that I have to get him. I want to see more from him, but here he is now. He is, man, playing for Michigan. Is that, does that hype up guys even more too, playing for certain colleges?
I think so.
That's a weird thing there.
You know what? That's tough to say, because I'm actually going to go to the next one, because Mike has said that this works in reverse in terms of Drake May. And we talked about it, I think it was last week, where Merrill Hodge said Drake May is the kind of player that can have somebody lose their job.
Yes.
However, I can't remember who it was now. Somebody from Bleacher Report popped up, and there was somebody on SportsCenter as well that said, I've heard from multiple executives that Drake May has the most upside of any quarterback in this draft.
That's awesome.
Do you buy that?
No.
Oh, my God. You said that so fast.
I do buy that they have heard that from multiple executives.
Okay.
I'll buy that they heard that. I don't know that he has the most upside.
Okay.
I've watched him. He's really good, man. There's some really good qualities that I like about him. I have some concerns about him, too. And when it comes to upside and trying to project upside, I don't trust that. I'm not trying to project upside. I'm trying to project what I actually see with the guy. Can he make certain throws? If he can't, then I'm going to have to now spend time on him practicing those throws rather than him being maybe stuck in a book with something else and in the playbook with something else, watching some extra film on something else. I need to know that he can do the things that I'm going to ask of him when he walks in the door, not, hey, can we work our way to something like that?
Will?
So you get Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bortles.
Or Ryan Tannehill. Will this be the year that six quarterbacks go in the first round? So both Bo Nix and Michael Penix go in the first round. The 2018 draft saw five quarterbacks taken in the first round, 1999, 2021. They replicated it. But the only year that many quarterbacks, I believe, were taken in the first round is 1983. Let me go double check if that was five or six. But a ton of quarterbacks in that one. Will this draft get to six quarterbacks in the first round?
No. I think teams that'll be in position to draft in the first round will trade down, and because I don't think that they're going to need that quarterback. Like, I don't think that there are teams that are going to say, we have to get this over this.
Right.
So teams that are sitting there that don't need the quarterback will say, we'll trade back. I don't want to take the quarterback, and they'll try and trade out of that spot, or they'll take other players that can help service their team right now.
Man, I'm really glad this person texted this in from the 561. If they want to do what most of us expect, they'll draft an offensive lineman in the first round. If you want to pique our interest, they'll draft Penix. Do you buy or sell that the Dallas Cowboys should draft a quarterback in the first round amid the Dak Prescott uncertainty?
No, because they have Trey Lance.
Who can do what?
Nobody knows.
I do kind of
buy into us.
Thank you. Buy into them. With Trey Lance, I think they're like Jerry's sitting there going, we got Trey. We're going to be fine.
Oh my God.
As long as we got Trey Lance, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Something was to happen to Dak this year, we'll just let Trey roll it out there. And if he wins the job, he does, and we'll pay him. That's kind of where I feel like they might be looking at a clean slate for a lot of things.
I hope he does say that. My follow-up question will be, what if he doesn't? Because then both Dak and Trey Lance will be out of contract.
Then we'll have the number one pick and we'll draft.
Yeah, well, we're good at taking a quarterback.
Somebody said, Kevin, J.J. McCarthy will be, have a better career than Caleb Williams. He won championships in high school and college. Always finds a way to win.
I'm a J.J. McCarthy guy. Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Did I say that?
Trevor Lawrence should win one soon then, right?
Oh, man.
Because didn't he win in high school and college?
Yeah, and I don't.
I
don't know if I believe that's going to happen.
Who was the left-hand Tim Tebow? That dude was just a winner. Like, he was just a winner.
He didn't win in the NFL. I know he won that one. Yes.
He won in college.
I know he won a playoff game. All right. So are you saying you're mocking the idea that people who win in high school and college win in the pros? That's what you're doing.
It's a good thing to have, like, to say whenever you're winning in the pros and you've done it, but I don't base – he's going to win because he's – I don't know what his teams were in high school. Was he the only guy on that team, or was it a good football team that should win state championships all the time? Was he on a college football team that was really good and should win a national championship, or was he dragging that team to it? I don't know that answer. I'd have to really go dig on something like that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who was the best at being the worst this weekend? And why was it Angel Hernandez? 877-881-1053. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Whoa. 2-1. And, oh my goodness. 2-2. You have got to be kidding me. What in the world?
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. Angel Hernandez is in the world. And it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. And I've thought about this quite a bit. Angel Hernandez is the worst at his job. However, I do wonder if you would become emboldened along the way if you knew that no matter what terrible call you made, nothing was going to happen to
you. Oh, yeah, man. Just like Supreme Court, I would be in biggin' to do whatever I want. This is
politics.
This is where.
Sorry.
I find him fascinating. The Jeff McNeil thing with the time. And he turns around. And he's like, hey, how much time do I still have my time? And he's like, you've used your time out. And he's like, no, I was asking if I still have my time. He's like, you better get back in the box because you're out of timeouts. No, Kevin, if you keep watching that, and I was watching it on John Boy, he at the end of it, it's ball four. Jeff McNeil's so confused by the whole situation, he doesn't even know what the count is. He got a walk, and he's still furious about how everything went down. That's you go up to the plate with something already in your mind that this guy is going to screw me over at some point. I can't rely on him to call this correctly. He is the reason that you want robots.
That's true.
But for the most part, you can get good balls and strikes called, but he is so bad at it.
Was he also, in a way, the champion of the weekend, though? Because he led to that meme where somebody had 5 missed calls and they were all Angel Hernandez. Yes.
That was very good.
That's quality piece of work for whoever did that. By the way,
I don't like though, Kevin. I don't like that Wyatt Langford's up at the plate and he's trying to navigate this whole thing, and that guy's back there messing it all up. But I guess that's kind of an initiation to Major League Baseball. Everybody's like, yeah, we all have to deal with it.
This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen when it comes to an umpire, and I have 2 stats to go with it. Angel Hernandez was 91% accuracy rate on Friday. That's 3.1% lower than what you expected. Here are the impact calls of the game. The third biggest impact call, a called strike to Wyatt Langford on a 2-0 count. Here's the next one. A called strike to Wyatt Langford on the 2-0 count. Can you see where this is going?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the number one impact play. A called strike on Wyatt Langford when the count was 2-2 with one out and bases loaded.
And it should have been...
It should have been... There were all five of them were balls. He struck out when all five of them should have been balls. Now, to go along with this, when you heard Dave Raymond say, you got to be kidding me, that strikeout pitch missed the outside of the plate by 6.78 inches. That was the largest missed call on a called strikeout in umpire auditor history. So if you're looking for a strikeout call that's worse than that under the umpire auditor regime, you're not going to find it.
There was a play last year where Matt Hicks lost his mind. And I wanted to say lost his damn mind, but, you know, it's Matt Hicks, so just lost his mind. But there was a play at, like, first base, and Matt Hicks for, like, 3.5 minutes was just like, I don't know what he's supposed to do. And then he'd go back to calling, and he's like, it's just preposterous. And I was like, this is great. I love Matt Hicks. Can you imagine? I don't know what the groups are, but I don't think we have Angel Hernandez this week. But can you imagine, Mike, if Angel Hernandez does that?
Hey, farthead, that wasn't a strike.
He might throw a clipboard out of the window at Angel Hernandez.
You know what he would do?
This is what I want.
In all ensuing at bats, somebody would throw it into the dirt, and Mike would definitely be like, "Well, that's a strike." Like, you know that would carry on.
Yeah, that's how Mike would do it. They would throw a ball like over into the dugout because they're just trying to get rid of that ball, and he's like, "Angel Hernandez didn't call that one a strike."
He's not from the 254. He's not that bad. No way this isn't on purpose. Like, no one can be that bad, right? I don't know, because this is a good point from the 817. Did y'all see that meme with the fake headline that said Angel Hernandez misses solar eclipse? That was another really quality one. Now, more wankers of the weekend. Because he's not the only incompetent official.
Good on you, though, umpires, for having such a strong union.
Man, no kidding. Hey, this guy's provably the worst. Well, what can you do? Now, the NBA is like, here's what we're going to do. In the, I believe it's the third quarter of the Lakers and Grizzlies on Friday. How long is a quarter in basketball, Corey?
14 minutes.
No. It's 12 minutes.
13 minutes.
Actually, we're getting there.
Nobody really knows.
Yeah, well, these officials didn't know.
Lakers got an extra minute.
Because the third quarter ended up being 13 minutes and 6 seconds. Because the shot clock was supposed to be reset with 1 minute and 14 seconds remaining. Instead, they reset the game clock to 2 minutes and 20 seconds. So they ended up playing 13 minutes and 6 seconds, and nobody noticed. And if you watch the video,
nobody noticed.
Nobody until after the game.
That's the part that irritates me.
They played out the whole game, and you can watch the clock changes. And I wonder how many people like watching at home are like, the hell was that? Why did that just happen? So that's another one that you can think is preposterous. However, baseball said, wait, I'm not done yet. Let's go to NBC Sports Bay Area, where the pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, very interesting name. It was current pitcher last name, was pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, Murphy was up to bat for the San Francisco Giants with a 10-1 lead in the top of the eighth. And current pitcher last name took the hill for the Rays. Or at least that's what the system said on TV, as it didn't actually put in what the last name was, but you could see the bug that said current pitcher last name.
That's awesome. That is awesome. It reminds me, Kevin, of Outdoor Column about outdoor things.
So we met at the newspaper, and one of the things that really infuriated me, we might have used to have an intern that ended up going to work at a different radio station.
I think he still is.
Is he really? Good for him.
Had another different one.
He thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I was not amused when I came back from vacation, and the headline for the outdoor column said, outdoor column about outdoor things. So
I asked him to lay out the newspaper for me while I was getting all the other stuff together.
Mistake.
And I never went back and looked. That being said, neither did our managing editor.
What happened while I was gone?
He just trusted me. What was he doing?
It's
like trusting that dude that made that Allen Iverson statue.
Just to show that I make mistakes as well. This one time, Corey put a headline when Plano West won the state baseball tournament. And it said, with this ring, I the West.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Corey was dumb because he spelled the with too many E's. So I deleted one of the E's. And then when I went to go talk to him about it the next day, he's like, what the hell? Why did you change that? And I was like, you're welcome. And
I do remember how cocky you were.
I was like, yeah, I saved the day. And then it all came crashing down on me really quickly. So I don't want to make it sound like only other it folks happens. Made mistakes. I most definitely did as well. Now, you ready for the Olympics? Because sometimes people are the worst. Did you see the Team USA track kits released over the weekend? For
no,
the Paris
I haven't
Olympics?
Seen them. Let me go look these up.
Well, people were clutching their pearls left and right because they were like, look at how high caught the women's uniform. Oh, my heavens. Now.
I feel like they're always pretty high cut.
Yeah. But here's to go along with this. I think it was Sha'Carri Richardson. When she modeled the outfit, she was wearing shorts.
Yeah, regular shorts.
Yes. Because the Olympic Committee for the USOC said, you can wear it with shorts. You can wear the exact men's kit if you want. This is one of 19 options. 19 options!
Seems like too many options.
That is a good point. And then instead, the internet was like, okay, so every woman athlete has to go get a wax before she goes out there. And then some women athletes were like, don't shame people who want to wear it, because if I want to wear that, now it feels like you're calling me out. But there is plenty of other options, including the one that got modeled when they released the kits.
I got a question.
Yes.
What are the sleeves for in track? Is that for wind resistance?
Maybe.
Your arms are like, you just put on more stuff and that makes you, I feel like it makes you heavier.
Aerodynamic.
How? Because they're all wearing sleeves. I'm dead serious. I don't know the answer to this. So if anybody out there that is a track person can explain what these sleeves are for. I kind of get it with basketball and stuff, like the elbow sleeves and things like that. I'm not sure I know this one. So if you can just tell me, I would really appreciate it.
It's just a comfort thing, really.
It is?
Yeah, because I used to do the sleeves. I would do one on my right leg because that one was more compression because I've had so many knee issues.
Yes,
so
that makes sense.
That one actually helped. I did do an arm sleeve, though, and it was just really because a lot of the time during track season, it gets cold.
Okay.
So a lot of the time it's just for a comfort thing because you're wearing like a tank top and
yes.
some 5-inch inseam shorts. So just trying to stay warm.
All right. Huh. Do you ever shave your arms and stuff for wind resistance?
No, I was not that committed because I knew that my dad would probably make fun of me. So I was like, nah, I'm good.
Did you ever see a meet where you think that was the difference between getting on the podium or not?
Yeah, not gonna lie, because there were some track guys that were swimmers and the swimmers did have to shave. So some of those swimmers, they were really quick.
That the swimming, though, is less about drag and more about the sensation that your body gets when you jump in the water. That's what I was told by the SMU swim coach. So I'll take his word for it. He's now in Miami.
Now,
loving life.
I have one more thing for you, and this one is maybe the most confusing story I read all weekend, besides Angel Hernandez. Do you remember we talked about how somebody found a case of Opeachy hockey?
Yes.
And it went on the auction block. And this is the 1979-1981 that has the Wayne Gretzky rookie, of which the best version of it is sold for $3.75 million. Somebody bought this case for $3.72 million. Jack Arshowski. I still can't get over this. He has had a change of heart. That I believe. But he's already paid $3 million of the $3.72 million.
But he doesn't even want them now?
Well, he says he feels bad because he saw how much the other people bidding wanted to win it. And so he feels bad that they didn't win it. He has reached out to Drake, NHL team owners, and Wayne Gretzky himself to see if they would like to buy the case. Or, this is the part I can't get over. He has floated the idea of giving the cards to his, quote, true soulmate that he met as a child. So this is like his childhood crush who, I don't know, loves hockey.
So he feels bad that somebody else didn't get it.
Yeah. Wouldn't you gift it to that person?
Yeah, that makes zero sense. He feels bad, so he's not going to keep it. But he's also not giving it to the people he feels bad about taking advantage of.
You know what?
Or not taking advantage of.
We have connections at Heritage Auctions. They donated something for Peace-A-Thon.
I know a guy.
The only statement they put out is their vault in Texas is not meant to keep things forever if you've purchased it. And so, like, they're like, hey, we don't keep the thing once you buy it. You take possession. And so I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to say this is a default on the sale because you didn't pay all of it, put it back up for auction, and then just get all the extra profits. But this is really confusing.
Start a fire with it.
Doesn't that make the other one out there?
This
is the only case in existence.
That you know of.
That is fair.
Obviously, we didn't know this case existed.
You know what? That's a fair point. By the way, it's estimated that 25 to 27 Gretzky rookies will come out of this case.
Out of one case?
Well, because it's not a box. It's a case.
What's a case? What's the difference? Is that multiple boxes?
Yeah, exactly. And I can't remember if this one's 12, 16, or 20 boxes, but it's a lot.
Dang.
So if you can get $3.72 million together.
If I can pull off a caper.
Okay, well, you know, we just said we know people at Heritage Auctions, and
they'll never know it was me
with our charitable event.
You know how? Because, Kevin, I will wear all black with a black hat, and I'll do it in the middle of the day. You ever see commercials where they're like, we're going to protect your home, and a dude breaks into a house in the middle of the day wearing all black? You're like, that. Of course that guy's a robber.
You kind of think he's not that good of a robber to begin with.
Yeah, what a dummy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. OTA start today, plus we'd all want to see this, right? We'll do it next right here in The Fan.
Dobbs in the gun, claps his hands, has the ball come back. He's sacked by Parsons. Caught him from behind, and the Lion eats at the 20.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Oh, son of a gun.
Mike's not even here.
Exactly.
He's in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You think.
What do you mean?
His spirit lives in Dallas, though.
For 5 or 6 more years. 25 teams launched their off-season programs today, including the Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb was not at voluntary workouts, as you brought up. Do you care about OTAs whatsoever, or that CeeDee Lamb is not there?
This is the most important time, Kevin. This is where you get the...
is it?
This is where you get to learn about meetings in the NFL, and where you get to learn about how to get from the locker room to the meeting rooms. And
it does sound important.
Who to ask whenever the toilet paper has run. Like, this is where you kind of learn the basics of the place. Not necessarily. OTAs are a good time to get acclimated, but it's a good time for the younger players to get acclimated to the team.
Now that I get.
And a good opportunity for any new players that you sign in free agency, especially when the Cowboys spent upwards of $11 million in free agency.
Spent by far the least amount in the NFL.
That's what OTAs are for. Your coaches start getting the message across. You start building that, but that's pretty much it. With CeeDee Lamb, the deal's going to get done. I don't think he has to. I do. I think the deal's going to get done. He's one of those guys I think that they look at and they go, stud receiver. Why would I not want him back?
Will it get done in a smart way like DeVonta Smith?
Okay.
Because the Eagles announced that they have picked up the fifth-year option on DeVonta Smith's rookie contract, of course, and also signed him to a 3-year, $75 million deal with $51 million guaranteed.
Okay.
Always better, especially if you, like, really, really believe in this person, to get the deal done while they're still on their rookie deal.
Yes. The Cowboys don't.
They don't.
They have a different philosophy,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
They like have a very different philosophy on.
I have to admit, I do not understand that philosophy.
On waiting and wait, and I don't know how much that comes to deadlines make deals versus we just are willing to wait it out. It always seems like they end up paying more by waiting.
Yes.
Instead of, I guess the deadline makes the deal because the Cowboys are like, I guess we got to offer them something. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I good job on the Eagles to get that one taken care of.
I guess.
You don't.
No, I don't.
This
want
is you not
to
wanting
well.
To give credit.
No.
Even when credit is
no.
due.
No.
You don't like the
also,
Eagles.
Also, it's just infuriating because you look at all these other teams and you're like, hey, they can do it. Why can't we? I don't know.
We have a different philosophy.
Yeah. I guess. How's that philosophy working out for you?
Also, right. Kevin, if you don't have holdouts, how will you have stories in the media about holdouts? If this is the time, this is the dead time, right? So if you don't have holdouts or contract situations, how are you going to have contract conversations if they're not, if the guys are all under contract and doing fine?
I get that. I just do the Cowboys understand if they were to win the Super Bowl somehow, it would be the biggest story in the universe. And people would talk about it forever. The next year, you'd be the defending champions. You wouldn't have to make anything up. You could just win. But will that last all year long? First of all, yes, it will. You see Corey's hat? We're still living off of that. There's a whole generation of Cowboys fans who haven't seen this team win jack S. If you win, that's your storyline. You don't need any... Whatever.
Look at how much. Look at
they're
the Rangers
not,
right
they
now,
don't care
Kevin.
What I think
the Rangers didn't re-sign Jordan Montgomery, and everybody's happy because we won the World Series. Nobody's that upset with the Rangers about not re-signing Jordan Montgomery or going out there and outbidding the Dodgers for Shohei. Nobody's upset about that.
From the 214, it's very smart. Wait until the last minute. Let other players get paid more so we can sign them and increase the amount as much as possible. You're not going all in unless you pay more than you have to.
Valid.
No! Oh, my gosh.
It's rough, man. It is the way that they approach the whole thing is very, it doesn't make much sense compared to the way the rest of the league does things.
It's like, oh, I need bread. All right, I'm going to go to the store. How much is this bread? $2.75 for the loaf. I'm going to wait. I think he can do better. Hey, if you wait, it's probably going to go up. I'm telling you right
now. Hold
on.
Let me ask you a question, though. Is that because other people are trying to buy my bread?
They're trying to buy other breads.
Nobody's trying to buy my bread.
That's true.
Like, nobody's trying to buy CeeDee Lamb right now.
They can't.
The Cowboys are essentially bidding against themselves constantly, but waiting.
No. See, that's where I disagree. They're bidding against Chase. Jefferson, Ayuk, Devontae.
But they're not bidding against the Rams and Philadelphia and Miami. They're bidding against, yes, you're right, against other receivers out there. But they're the ones that are like, hey, you know what? Let's keep driving this price up on ourselves.
Look, it's spoiler alert. Did the Cowboys win this negotiation with CeeDee Lamb? No. I'll just go ahead and, you know, ruin that for you down the road. Hey, good news for one of your wide receivers, and then we'll go back to the Cowboys. T. Higgins said he is anticipating playing for the Bengals. So there was a discussion about trade requests on the franchise tag. He said, I do anticipate I will play here. I've grown a love for Cincinnati that I didn't think I would, and I'm looking forward to this
smart
season.
He got franchise tagged, right?
Did.
So he already is getting paid top-tier money for that for 1 year. And what happens if they franchise tag him again? He gets double that money or quadruple, something like that.
Goes up by 20%,
yeah, it's a nutty number. But that being said, endear yourselves to the fans. Oh, I love Cincinnati. I love the city.
Sure.
I love playing here.
They're garbage.
Collect your money and see how it goes next year. You're still young enough. You'll be all right. Just don't get hurt, fingers crossed. Well, I don't know. Cowboys show that if you get hurt, quarterback can make a lot of money.
That is a good point. Obviously, it's not going to happen. Fossil said it's not going to happen, but he was on the Ross Tucker football podcast, and he goes, I would love to see Micah as a kick returner.
Yeah.
He said he's lobbied it for it in the past.
Yeah.
He would be fantastic. He could catch and run wild, probably get extra yards, and he goes, but that's not going to happen. I'm aware of that. But you would want to see it, right?
He did say it was from the higher ups. When he took he took it to the coaches, and the higher ups said, no, we're not doing that because we're going to have to pay him so much money. We wouldn't want to pay him and him get hurt.
I would want to see that, though.
Yeah, me too.
Here's what I didn't want to see. And luckily, the version I saw was censored. Juju Smith-Schuster's junk hanging out.
Haven't seen it. Heard about it this morning from Sean and RJ and Bobby, Kevin, and did not take 1 second to go seek that out.
Well,
how did you see it? Are you following him on Snapchat?
No.
Oh.
But the story popped up everywhere. At first, I thought it was a fake story. And then it says he accidentally sent out a picture of his junk. Maybe. Here's my counterpoint. Is it truly an accident, or could you not have seen the possibility if you're in the car with your junk hanging out and you've got your phone up? Could you not see how that could happen? I get that, like, you didn't want it to happen, but you put your junk away, then take your phone out. Or you keep your junk out and put your phone away.
Uh-huh.
That is a simple equation just on your part in the car to make sure that doesn't happen.
How often in time do you think you have both your phone and junk out at the same time?
I don't think it's a lot. I would have to think a little harder, but I would argue it's pretty rare.
Almost every time I go to the bathroom.
Every time?
Yeah. What am I going to do while I'm just standing, look at the wall?
It's like,
I'm going to read a new story.
Is it like 45 seconds?
Play a game or something. Yeah, 45 seconds of staring at a wall, Kevin.
Okay, well, will you rethink this now, knowing the perils that come with having your phone and junk out?
I've been very concerned. There have been times when I've been like, oh, did I just take a picture on accident? And I'm like, nope, I didn't. Whew.
Come on, Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
God, you're good at this, Alec.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, puck around and find out. We will talk about the Stars with Valley Stars analyst Brian Ray right here on 105.3 The Fan.
How about that D, baby?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.